Scripture reading this morning will be from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, and I'll be reading from the New King James Translation. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to that land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Adam lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father? And he said, Here I am, my son. And then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And so he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord Will Provide. And it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning and see everyone here. This morning, we're talking about types and anti-types from the Scriptures. And I really think that Abraham is probably, to me, probably one of the most important figures that we could ever study in the Scriptures. Abraham, if we look at, first of all, if we look at the types and anti-types, we know that usually the type is less superior to the anti-type. And so the anti-type is more superior. And so as we go throughout the lesson, we're going to try to make that point on how the sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham and Abraham's faith is more superior to that, or that Christ is more superior and that his sacrifice than Isaac. So we go from chapter 12. If you go to chapter 12 of Genesis, and not 22, what we just read from, and I thank him for reading that. Chapter 12 is where pretty much the promises of Abraham begin. And then any Bible student knows that for the next 1,500 years throughout Old Testament history, the lineage of Abraham is, there's concentration upon the Jewish people, which came from Abraham. Abraham was known as the father of nations. And as we look at types and anti-types, we could kind of look at Abraham sort of as, more or less like God or Christ, like the father of a people. And then we know that he's called this. If you go to Genesis, the 17th chapter, verse 16, actually, not just Abraham is mentioned, but Sarah is mentioned as having her name changed to mean that she would also be the mother of nations. And that is because of the child that was promised to her in her old age. And this, again, this lineage would continue throughout the age, in the ages into the Christian age. So we know that the focus then, though, in this particular reading in 22, and where our focus is going to be, is on the sacrifice that Abraham made, but more so how this sacrifice is going to affect his faith. and it's going to affect him as a person. And I think we'll find that the faith of Abraham is often looked at, you know, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. He goes back and he reflects upon Abraham's faith as a great tool to teach us today about faith and what it means and how we should walk with God. And so it says, you know, we have to understand, too, that when we read the book of Genesis, that the chapters are in chronological order. And that's very important, especially when you go into the Roman letter and you're reading about Abraham and the points that the Apostle Paul is making. Because one of the interesting things about Abraham being declared righteous or the friend of God is the fact that God did so and gave the promises to Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis before he was circumcised. And so that's a very interesting point. So if you look at the book of Genesis where the promises were gave in the 12th chapter, he wasn't circumcised till the 17th chapter, remember when he came out of Egypt. And so, you know, there's some questions there about, you know, whether or not the Jews were justified by merely having knowledge of the law, or what were they saved and made righteous by faith. But what we're going to look at is how Abraham's faith, together with his works, helped to justify. And so that's where we're going to look at, because it's going to help us as a Christian to better understand why the sacrifice was given. And we, you know, when we think of the sacrifice in Genesis, we have to ask ourselves, why did God test Abraham in this way? You know, why was it required? Because he had already given the promises to test him. If you look at there again at Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and that's a misprint, verse 18, it says that he tested Abraham. But also look at, let's just look at that one more time. There in 22 verse 18, he says, "And in your seed all of the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." And so one of the interesting things that God does is in the 22nd chapter, he tells Abraham again of the promises that he made in chapter 12 after he was tested. And so that's kind of interesting that he makes that comment, "because you have obeyed my voice." And we have to remember that as we go forward. So we look at Abraham, and we know that he had to believe that the promise, and then show the belief by the sacrifice of his son. It's not just enough before God to have a mental confirmation of the fact that we believe in God and that somehow God is going to justify us. We know that if we know the nature of God, God does not reckon anyone righteous if he's not righteous, because that's against the nature of God. But by the sacrifice, Abraham showed that not only did he believe in God, but he believed that God had the power over death. You know, a lot of people, when they read this story, they don't quite get that point. Is that it goes to 1 Corinthians 15, where when we have our faith in Jesus Christ, we believe that God has resurrected him, that he has raised him from the dead. Just like Abraham in offering his son, this was a way that he was, obeying God's voice and showing an outward act or expression of his faith to show his belief in the afterlife. How do we know that? Well, we go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. If you flip over there real quickly, let's take a look at one little point there that the writer of Hebrew makes, which I believe is probably Paul. We go to the 11th chapter and verse 17. It says, "By faith when he was tried," and again, you see the word tried, some versions have tempted, and then other versions have the word tested. "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." Again, he mentions the promises that were previously given, see? And then he says, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall your seed be called, because, again, Isaac was promised to Abraham, and we'll talk about that later, according that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. And so Abraham had faith in God to the point that in believing the promises that through his seed all of the nations of the earth would be blessed, that he would then, if he did sacrifice Isaac, that God was able to raise him up from the dead to keep his promise. This shows Abraham's belief in the afterlife. It shows that God has power over the grave. Believing God's power to raise the dead, again, and I mentioned that in 1 Corinthians 15, but if you go to verses 16 and 17, let me say specifically a point that the Apostle Paul makes concerning the resurrection of Christ from the dead. In verse 15 and 16, he says, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins." And so, if there is no afterlife, or if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then our faith is futile. And in the same way, Abraham's faith would also be in vain. Why would you follow a God that could not save? Faith comes by knowing the way of God. And we, you know, when we look at Abraham's faith, we know that he had to hear what God was telling him, and that he believed what he heard, and he obviously had to repent to be made the friend of God. He had to have been forgiven of his sins. By Abraham being counted righteous, God, we know that this faith holds true in every age. The patriarchal, the mosaical, and the Christian age. And this is one of the points that we really need to focus on, because what this is saying is that the faith of Abraham was somewhat perfect in the way that we think of someone having faith in God, and that he acted upon his faith. God reckons righteousness, again, and I mentioned this before, but not to the unrighteous. He imputes it only after forgiveness, and that's what I just mentioned before. Hence, Abraham's sacrifice of his son was a means of perfecting his faith toward God, and after was then, of course, glorified. So we look then at the antitype. When we accept the sacrifice of Christ and give ourselves to God in a self-sacrifice, as according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, God forgives us, and then we are counted as righteous. We, like Abraham, seek to continue to perfect our faith as he did. Now, this is very important, because if you go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 10, let's take a look at that again. It's something that perfecting our faith, and we're going to talk about James too here if I got time. But in Hebrews the 11th chapter, and I just had that chapter up, verse 10. We know that there's an interesting verse here that a lot of people kind of misunderstand. Because Abraham had the kind of attitude that he kind of looked for a city whose builder and well, he looked for a city with a foundation whose builder and maker was God. And, you know, sometimes we look at that on the surface and we say, well, you know, he was looking to go to heaven. And that's true. You know, that's a good interpretation of that. But the reality is that Abraham was constantly looking at ways to perfect his faith. He looked into the teachings and looked into the person of who God was. Abraham's sacrifice, again, was not the Lamb of God. And now we focus on the sacrifice and how the sacrifice helped to perfect his faith. So, since we know that Isaac was not the Lamb of God, that was an inferior sacrifice, hence a type. And without the knowledge of Christ, he looked forward to the day of Christ. And so we have then a greater sacrifice later, being Christ, being an anti-type. But in John, the 8th chapter and 56, we know that Abraham did live to see Christ's day, because we know that Christ predated Abraham, and he had belief that Jesus would come and die for the sins of the world. There's also some speculation as to the fact that when he told Isaac that God would provide the lamb for the sacrifice, that he didn't provide a lamb per se, but he provided a bull. And so sometimes there's some speculation as to whether or not he would never offer a sacrifice that could be completely pleasing to God. But God did provide a sacrifice. So, but if it's interesting too, though, in Colossians, the first chapter, and I threw this verse in there because it kind of helps us to understand what God expects from us and parallel to the faith of Abraham. So if we look at Colossians, the first chapter, verse 8, we know that he talks about the love that the Colossians had. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, Colossians, as we desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and spiritual understanding, that you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all according to his glorious power, and in all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father. And so here we know, we see that the Apostle Paul knew that we have to seek God. We have to seek all the wisdom and gain the spiritual understanding as Abraham did and be faithful in that. And that word faithful there is something that requires action. You know, we can't just believe in God and not be faithful in the Word of God. And that's something that we need to understand. Abraham was indeed faithful, and he showed that by his sacrifice. So we know that then that Isaac and Christ were given by promise. And there's some other arguments that I could make, but what I really wanted to try to focus on was how Abraham and his sacrifice helped to perfect his faith. That God then looked at him, since he not only believed him, but he obeyed his voice. And there were other occasions where this took place. It's not just the fact that Abraham offered Isaac upon the altar, but also that when God told him to go out, he called him out from his family, he said he obeyed and he went. And that's also in Hebrews 11th chapter. And so we need to understand there are many things that Abraham did in his walk with God in obeying his voice. So, you know, I'm running out of time, so I just kind of threw this stuff up here, something to really think about. You can go into Galatians in the third chapter in verse 16 and do some comparisons with Romans the first chapter, and how you can see that there was some misunderstandings that the Jews had concerning their faith, that they thought that just because that they were the physical seed of Abraham, that somehow, and they were ultimately given the law of Moses, that somehow they were kept in God's favor. But we find that in the arguments in the Roman letter that just wasn't the case. You know, he asked the question in Romans the fourth chapter in verse 1. He says, where then did Abraham have to profit in the flesh, since it goes back to Genesis and saying that he was counted righteous before he was circumcised? And so there are some interesting things there in the Roman letter, and especially in the fourth chapter, to help us understand Abraham's faith and how it was. And that so that we can then perfect our faith in Christ, which is more of an anti-type of Abraham's faith. Because those who lived during Abraham's time and those who lived under the law, they didn't have all of the knowledge that we have today in the New Testament, and that we can look on and perfect our faith. But it's interesting, though, that Abraham was accepted by God, and this is why his faith is looked upon in the Scriptures and emulated. We also know, if we go into the Galatian letter in the fourth chapter, there's also some arguments concerning the promised seed of Isaac, and as it's compared to the law. And so we know that, you know, there was a distinguishment between, you know, those who were Christians in Christ and were trying to be faithful, and those who were trying to strive under the law of Moses and seek salvation through that means. It was another type of faith, but this argument in Galatians, the fourth chapter, concerning the seed of Ishmael and Isaac, the promised seed, is a very interesting contrast between our faith in Christ and the way that we're to look at Christ as the center of our life, and then a renunciation of the law of Moses and putting away the bondwoman. And so look at that. I don't have time to cover that, but those are some very interesting arguments concerning our faith. We know that also God, through the promised seed, Isaac, kept his promises to Abraham, and the sacrifice of Isaac helped secure the law and the knowledge of God through Moses and the prophets. The law through Abraham's seed was meant to teach that they all needed that same spiritual drink. So Abraham's faith throughout the ages was emulated by believing and then acting upon what he believed. And we see that later on, and I know this is kind of stretching it, but it's interesting how his lineage from that point is laid out. You know, you look at the fact that they were in the wilderness after they had come out of Egyptian bondage. And, you know, there were ups and downs during that period of those who were accepted in their faith and who was not. And then we've seen them, though, when they came out of bondage in Egypt, go through the Red Sea, which in 1 Corinthians, you know, the fifth chapter, I believe, or the 10th chapter, verse 5, it talks about how they were baptized spiritually by faith, going into the water and coming out of the water, going into and ratifying the covenant with God under Sinai, and then ultimately, when that generation died off because of sin, went into the land of rest that was promised them. And that is a type of physical way to express how, through Abraham's lineage, we have an idea of the true, of the church, and how we're to come to Christ. So look into those things, because there's a lot more to study. And I didn't even get to James, the second chapter, and there's another study there that pretty much wraps up everything that I've said. So I'm out of time. I thought I'd have more time. I was going to talk about James, the second chapter, because you really need to learn James, the second chapter, and you need to contrast that with what Paul's points are in Romans, which is a completely different argument, but leans towards the same thoughts. Okay? And right now we'll have our prayer and be dismissed to our class.